God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And from the catechism, we should fear and love God that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Dear friends in Christ, the Hebrew word for remember is zakar, and is always used in the context of God's covenant of love. God always remembers his covenant of love. And the Hebrew word remember carries the sense of hold it as a priority. We're told in Exodus 6 that God remembered his covenant to save his people. He held our salvation as a priority, and now he bids us to worship on the Sabbath so that we can remember his covenant fulfilled in Christ's blood that saved us as our priority. In Deuteronomy 5, the Hebrew word for keep is shamar. Is used. And the Sabbath is to be a stopping day from life's treadmill in order to recalibrate our priorities and to celebrate God's gifts. And who of us doesn't like to receive gifts? Exodus 31 says, "Observe my Sabbaths so that you may know that I am the Lord, who makes you holy." In other words, the Sabbath day is a day that the Lord declares his broken creation to be very good and holy again through the blood of Jesus. We're declared good in Jesus' goodness, righteous in Jesus' righteousness, forgiven in Jesus' forgiveness. The reason the Sabbath is to take precedence over sports and work and play is, as John 6 puts it, only you have the words of eternal life. The word holy literally means set apart for the Lord. So when the commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, it literally means to keep it set apart for the Lord. The Sabbath day is, first of all, to be sacred time, so that people don't live as though all time is their own. In fact, the word holiday is derived from holy day. In other words, our holidays were to be holy days to the Lord. But we oftentimes take a holiday from our holy days. The Sabbath day, according to Exodus, was to be a reminder of the Lord's finished creation and how, after he created everything in 6 days, he then declared it very good, and he rested with his creation on the seventh day. Luther says when a Christian steps into church, he or she is walking in the Garden of Eden again, or stepping with one foot into heaven. In other words, when we come to worship, we are beginning to experience life as God intended it, namely, God resting with us, declaring us very good and beautiful, and giving us all of his gifts, and we, receiving his gifts and resting with him, return our prayers, praise, and thanksgiving. The Sabbath day, according to Deuteronomy, was to be a reminder of how God redeemed and saved his people from all their enemies. Do you not enjoy being told how you've been saved from all your enemies? Deuteronomy 5, remember, set as a priority, that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, set apart for the Lord. When God's people were slaves in Egypt, slaves didn't get a day off. But God's now giving us a day off. And on that day off, he's reminding us, you're free now. You're my free people now, because I freed you from all your enemies, sin, death, and our Pharaoh the devil, in order that you may be mine and live under me in my kingdom forever. Thus, to work instead of worship on the Sabbath, or even to play instead of worship on the Sabbath, is to choose to forget your freedom in Christ, to choose to not pay attention or want to remember how he rescued you from all your enemies. And it can end up with you losing your freedom and your rescue in the forgetfulness of unbelief. In the Old Testament, God's people were required to worship on the Sabbath day. In the New Testament, on the seventh day, in the New Testament, it can be any day, but the commandment remains. Remember, set as a priority, to keep or observe the Sabbath day, the rest day, as set apart for the Lord, holy, which means that the Lord wants the giving and receiving of his gifts to be the first priority on the Sabbath day. And then after that, you can go home or go to the lake or go to the park or go to family and friends and rest your bodies and your minds as you prepare to serve the Lord in the week ahead. Many of the prophets speak of the keeping of the Sabbath as a sign of faithfulness. Isaiah 58, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, and from doing as you please on my holy day. If you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day sacred, and if you honor it, not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find joy in the Lord. Translation, God is giving out his gifts in worship, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of Jacob, that is to feast on the victory of Jesus over your enemies. As Christians, we are free to set apart any day of the week as our Sabbath, but the church has traditionally set apart Sunday, although we can worship any other day. But Sunday was the day that our Lord validated his victory over our enemies by his resurrection. In the Old Testament, Israel was to stop all work on the Sabbath, to emphasize that Israel was not the owner, but the manager or trustee of all God's gifts. The Sabbath was also a constant reminder, as Jesus says in Matthew 6, life is more important than food, and the body more important than clothes. In other words, consumption and achievement can cease for one day out of seven, and life will still go on. And the reason that work was to cease was so that God's people would remember that their reason for living was not merely to desire and acquire. God's people were created for more than life, liberty, and the purchase of happiness. Luther explained the meaning of the commandment like this: we are to fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Luther was fond of saying, behind every commandment there is a gift that the commandment is seeking to protect, so that you can enjoy the gift with maximum pleasure, and so that you do not misuse the gift and hurt yourselves and others. And so the gift behind the third commandment that God is trying to extol is God's word, that we would hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it, for these are the words of eternal life. And then as we hold them sacred and gladly hear and learn it, we will obtain maximum joy from the gifts. The psalmist says in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. But let's be honest, a lot of our rather unliturgical pre-church litanies don't exactly display gladness, do they? Get out of bed now or I'm coming up there. Come on, let's get it over with so that we can rest, have the rest of the day off. Or maybe we think, with a bit of luck and an outside chance of a short sermon, we might be able to get out of there in 55 minutes. We often have a hard time saying with the psalmist, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. In a very real sense, parents, what we model to our kids leaves a more lasting impression on their lives than what we teach. I can predict with a high degree of accuracy. There's always exceptions, but I can predict that the kids who were brought up to go to church every week will oftentimes continue that into their adult lives, while the kids whose parents worshiped irregularly when there was nothing else on the schedule, those kids will also carry that model into their adult lives. If the parents moan and groan and drone and pick a bone as to why we're not going to worship or Sunday school, that will make a major impact on your kids. Think of it like this. What would we think of the love of a lover who goes to meet his or her beloved only occasionally, or goes to meet his or her beloved only for the sake of the kids, or who hopes that their time spent together will be as short as possible, or who says, great, time to go? What does that say of the love of that lover? When we find spending time with Jesus a chore, a snore, and a bore until we say no more, it reveals a lack of love for the beloved. And it also reveals that the sinner in us is not as dead as it needs to be. And it needs to be given a death and a burial in repentance quickly. Remind the sinner in you that it is dead by imputation when it was put to death on the body of Christ on the cross, and that it was put to death by application in our baptism, because that's where God said he put it to death personally in you and me. So you remind that sinner, you are dead at the cross, you are dead in my baptism. And although you're seeking to regain life, I won't let you. The sinner in me, come back to life and separate me from my great lover, Jesus. A Sunday school teacher asked her kids to write a letter to God. One little guy wrote, Dear God, we had a great time in church today. Wish you could have been there. The reality is, Jesus loves to come to church. He promises, wherever two or three come together in my name, there am I in their midst. And Jesus wants us to come to church to worship because that's where he's giving out his gifts. How many of you don't like to receive gifts? The Sabbath can be a day of rest physically, one day, vacation day out of every seven, where we enjoy the Lord's first article gifts, creation, resting our bodies, food and friends. But first, it is to be a holy day. Remember, set as a priority, the Sabbath day, that is the rest day, to keep it holy, set apart for the Lord. Because this is the day which the Lord has made, to give you and me his greatest gifts, especially his gift of victory over all of our enemies. The Sabbath day is above all a day to rest spiritually. Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest, even rest for your souls. And Psalm 62 says, my soul finds rest in God alone, for my salvation comes from him alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation. Worship is to be date night, so to speak, between our lover Jesus Christ and his beloved, the bride that he redeemed with his own blood. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This kind of love, this kind of date, calls for more than Applebee's, but for the very body and blood of our lover, received on our lips for our salvation. As the Song of Solomon says, I will sing a song of my beloved rather than spend as little time as possible with my beloved. Worship is where the new creation rests again with her creator and redeemer, and as he declares us very good again for the sake of Jesus Christ's perfect life and his innocent suffering and death. Worship is where the dying, who can't seem to catch their breath in this world, receive CPR, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, as the Lord breathes his forgiveness and life upon us in Christ, and we inhale it to our soul's salvation and say in Exodus 31, observe my Sabbaths so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Amen.